And we are live. Welcome, everyone. It's the .NET Community Stand-Up Tooling Edition. I'm Kendra Havens, your host. My co-host is Cody Bayer. Wave. Cool. For this episode, we're going to dive in a little bit to Roslyn Analyzers and the Roslyn Analyzer package that we recommend people use. But first off, we're going to talk a little bit about news. So I'll go ahead and switch to my computer, not Mika's. Okay. Oh, wait, sorry. Let's introduce everyone in the room. I said we would do that first. Mika, why don't you introduce yourself? Yeah. Tell us what you work on.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mika Dumont, and I'm a program manager for .NET and Visual Studio.
And Manish?
Hi, this is Manish. I'm a developer on the Roslyn team. I have been working on the analyzer space for a few years now, so mainly the API, the engine, and even a few analyzer packages.
Awesome. Cody, should we talk about what we work on, just in case?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
You go first,
though. Okay. I work on, same thing as Mika, Visual Studio, .NET tooling, productivity, code fixes, refactorings, and the unit testing area. And Cody?
Awesome. I work on Visual Studio for Mac, mainly focused on the editor space right now, so there's a lot of stuff going on there, but also on overall reliability and performance of the IDE.
Sweet.
That's it. Yeah.
Cool. So we will be monitoring chat. Hello, everyone, throughout the episode. So if you have questions as they come up with the content that we're showing, we would love to hear them. And hopefully we'll respond and notice and everything. We probably will. Okay. So moving to my screen, couple of things I just wanted to call out. Mads Christensen released an excellent blog post all on Visual Studio tips and tricks. This area is near and dear to my heart, I guess, because I think the tips and tricks go along really well with other, productivity stuff that are usually the demos that Mika and I would show. Just things that you might have missed that have been built in actually a long time. So like reattaching the debugger to a process. Restoring the Solution Explorer project hierarchy state on solution load. So just kind of nice things. GoToAll, which we always talk about. I absolutely love keyboard mapping in Visual Studio, so you can assign tons and tons of different commands to whatever keyboard shortcut you can actually imagine, which can get you into trouble, so be conservative, folks, but it is a tool that can be really powerful if you want to use it. We don't want to break your muscle memory. This one is one of my absolute favorite ones. It's tracking the active item in the Solution Explorer. I think I showed this recently on a Robert Green, what's his series called? Visual Studio
Toolbox.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. So this is when you are navigating amongst your many files that are open. Your Solution Explorer will basically track this active item. So if you click to a different file, whatever is highlighted in your Solution Explorer will change to that file you have open, which is pretty sweet. So yeah, it's a good blog post. You can find it on the Visual Studio blog. So that's devblogs.microsoft.com/visualstudio. Another thing I wanted to call out, Steven Sanderson did a really, really cool Blazor demo at NDC Oslo. It's getting a ton of views. People are just generally really excited about Blazor newness. So I thought I'd call it out, give him some, fame. So you can look this up in the NDC conference's YouTube channel.
It looks like on Twitch, I'm not going to say the name, said a really, really awesome Blazor demo. So apparently we have some people who've already seen it and love it. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, nice. Always good to hear. And Cody, did you have a couple blog posts you wanted to call out?
Yeah, let me go ahead and share my screen. I got some blog posts. I got some cool stuff to show. Let me quickly do this. Share my screen. All right. Can you guys see it?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. So I'm going to make this font a little bit bigger too, just so you guys can see that. But the main blog post that I want to show off is on Libman. So if you guys are familiar with Library Manager, it's a very extensively used must-have tool for ASP.NET Core developers. Basically allows you to add client-side libraries to your projects. It's a very popular tool on Windows, and we've ported it over, or at least Matt Ward, a member of our team and an active member of the community, has ported this over to VS for Mac. So awesome. You can see it behaves just like it does on Windows. You right-click on the project, add a client-side library, and you have a pop-up set that you choose which one you want to add, and you can add it there. So it's a really great time saver, and just makes that whole process go a lot better. We also have introduced Hot Reload, which let me show that.
Just my comment on Libman in Visual Studio is it's not only like a way to add client-side libraries, it's a way to actually filter what is restored and updated when you run updates. So those will go much faster. So if you have this massive package, but you're only actually using a small portion of it, it can help filter out what you are actually updating in your project.
Yeah, it's a great time saver, and, and just really makes that whole thing go smooth. We also wanted to show off Hot Reload in Xamarin Forms. What this is basically if you've used any of those toolkits that allow you to make a change in your code and see it live on your device or on your simulator. So we have a blog post that goes all about it. It's a preview feature right now, but you can sign up for it and be invited to the preview. Just to show quickly how it works.
Exclusive, Cody.
It is very exclusive.
Why?
Yeah, so this is live, so, and it's beta, so if it breaks, it breaks. But basically, what I have here is an iOS simulator running a to-do app. And on this side, I have the code for that app. And I'm in the XAML called My Text Tasks view, which is this view right here. Mm-hmm. If I change the 1 to a 2 and hit save, you'll see that it will refresh on the other side. We got a new face there. If I change the name, same thing, hit save. We'll refresh on the other side. So you can really iterate on your UIs quickly. You can see changes as they're made, and it helps you really write UIs in a much more efficient way. You can also reflect on your devices as well, so it's not just limited to simulator. So please, if you're interested in that, please, please, please sign up for the demo or the preview. We're hoping to get as many users as possible because you'll want to test this, you know, pretty extensively before we send it out to the world. So if you're interested, either drop me a note in the comments and in the stream chat, or check out the Hot Reload blog post, and that would be a great way to get started on it. Nice. And those are the two things that I have to show off.
Yeah, we had a question. It's just, speaking of hot reloading, what about hot reloading in ASP.NET Core? Are we planning anything about that? I know it's constantly on our mind. I don't have any updates to give right now. And someone's asking for the link to the blog post. I can share all of the links in the video description, I suppose, once these are posted.
Yeah, and I can post in the chat link too. I also see that Maddie joined the chat. She's the PM on the Hot Reload team. So she must have, every time you say Hot Reload, it's like Beetlejuice, Maddie just shows up.
She like got a notification.
So, yeah, somebody said Hot Reload. And so she's there now too. So if you have any questions, let her know as well. And I'll drop the link in the blog post too.
Ah, it's always nice to have experts tuning in. Sweet. Okay. Speaking of our blog posts, let's see, what else do I want to show? So Mika actually just wrote a fantastic blog post. It's Write Better Code Faster with Roslyn Analyzers. That's what we want to dig into today. So Mika, what are Roslyn Analyzers? Just to set the stage, catch everyone up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, a lot of you probably are wondering what they are. So Roslyn Analyzers are a tool that runs analysis on your code and reports diagnostics and errors. So this manifests in the editor as squiggles. So if you're ever in Visual Studio and you see like red or green squiggles within the editor, those are Roslyn Analyzers running in the background. They also come with the little light bulb and screwdriver icon that often contain code fixes and refactorings.
Sweet. So you wrote a blog post, and it sounds like there's a little bit more we can get out of Roslyn Analyzers.
Yes.
Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, of course. I can also, if you want to switch to my screen, I can quickly show you just a little bit more about...
Oh, wait. That's mine.
There we go. Yeah. So.
Okay. So there's the squiggles you were talking about.
Yeah. So these are the squiggles I was talking about. They also come with different severities. So there's three different kinds. There's the errors. So here in my error list, you can see the error severity, the warning severity, and the information severity. Mm-hmm. And so if I actually, let's see.
I mean, we also have silent. And I guess that means you wouldn't see it anywhere, not an air list or anything.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. No, for sure. And so here you can actually see I'm getting a red squiggle. So these are the red and the green squiggles I was talking about. And if you go in the error list, you can see that it says it expected a semicolon at the end. Also, if you hover over, it'll also tell you that it's expected a semicolon at the end. So here I can do that. And then here I'm getting a little light bulb suggestion. So if I hit Control Dot, which is the keyboard shortcut for to get into the code fixes, you can actually see that I get a suggestion to remove the unused variable.
Yeah.
So
we're pretty familiar with that.
Yeah. So that's built in. Already have that for code styles. But then what I'm here to talk about is the Roslyn Analyzer package. These don't ship with the built-in tool, so you would actually have to add it as a NuGet package.
Oh.
Yeah. But it also helps improve your code quality even more.
So how would we add this extra package to give us more diagnostics?
Yeah, so you would actually add it as a NuGet package. And over here, I can just show you real quick how that works. So I'm going to actually add, so I'm gonna add our most popular and our recommended Roslyn Analyzers package, which is
our
called-
Our favorite,
yeah, okay. Exactly. Which is called the Microsoft Code Analysis Ethics Cop Analyzers. So over here, I'm just going to type that in. So bear with me, because it's a lot to type in. CodeAnalysis.ethics. There you are. So here I'm going to click. Okay.
And we can see it's like published by Microsoft and everything.
Yeah.
So we know it's coming from Microsoft, which is nice, even though it's not a part of the built-in tools.
Exactly.
So it looks like you're actually adding a lot of different packages all in this one install.
Yes.
So you got multiple like framework analyzers, NetCore analyzers, code quality analyzers.
Yes.
Neato.
So.
And then, also, I just want to call out, like, this is the NuGet package manager. You can right-click and manage NuGet packages from this.
Yes.
So many people don't realize we do have this whole UI built out of it. They, like, only work inside of their CS proj and, like, copy and paste actual versions and everything by finding them on NuGet.org. Yeah, we do have a UI. That's an option.
Yeah, which is really awesome. And another thing I want to call out is that this Roslyn Analyzer package is also open source, so you can actually find it on our GitHub repo,
which is
.NET Roslyn Analyzer, so search
That's
for
awesome.
That. We've gotten a ton of contribution from the community, so continue to do so. It's awesome. And yeah.
So if you have any like bugs or it's not working quite the way you would expect it to, you can actually engage with our developers. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did you expand over there in the Solution Explorer?
Yeah, so these are the Microsoft NetCore Analyzer. So these are all of the packages.
Oh, yeah, so they're all under the Analyzer dropdown.
Yeah, exactly.
So these are the squiggles listed out rules.
Yes, these are the squiggles. And if you ever want to, let's say, set the severities, which I kind of showed you in the error list, you can set it from here. And let's say I want to set this to give me an error. So it would then, let's say, contain a red squiggle, hopefully. Let's see. Set the severity. New error.
It looks like in the error list it is showing up.
Yeah.
Let's see. Click that.
The filter, maybe?
Yeah.
She did click on the filter.
Yeah.
Sometimes those filters don't always work, to be honest.
Yeah, so this is by default a warning. And so before, I should have pointed this out, but before the task didn't have a warning or a green squiggle underlined, but once I added this Roslyn Analyzers package, I'm now getting a warning. So I can also just simply hit Control Dot over here, and it's now giving me a suggestion to actually configure await false to get rid of that.
Okay, so consider using configure await false.
Yeah.
In async.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it in a nutshell. So definitely recommend installing this package. It'll just help with your code quality so much better. So
yeah. Did you have any more you wanted to show off in that package?
I mean, there's different ones. There's, yeah. I would have to like, yeah, but there's like some other ones that's, let's say, avoid empty interfaces. But yeah, you can like scroll through all the different options as well.
Okay.
Mark members as static, and then you can also set the rule severity there. And cool. Yeah.
We did get a question in chat. Is this related to the Roslinator extension? Do you know, Manish?
So Roslinator is, I think, again, a bunch of analyzers, but it's not exactly related to like the rules that I implemented, but it's like a different extension which has different code quality rules. So these are Microsoft recommended ones. So if you have used, say, FXCorp tool in the past to do binary analysis, you're probably familiar with these. So we have documentation on each and every rule with guidance on what and how to be used. So
right. So we re-implemented a lot of the FXCorp rules. We have re-implemented
the important rules, yeah.
Excellent. To use our live code analysis rather than the static, like, that's after correct. Build and that yes. kind of feedback. Cool. For some reason, a light went off. Anyway, I'm sure it's fine. Actually, so we've stated a couple times that they're Microsoft recommended and they're our team's favorites and everything. If it does have so many fans of these, do you want to talk about why they aren't built in?
Yeah. So,
by default?
Yeah. So, I mean, we get this question a lot. So a lot of these analyzers may be a little too verbose to actually ship in the default built-in tools, but yeah, so it may create a little too much noise because, as you saw before, I didn't actually have a squiggle under task, but once I actually added this NuGet package, I then got the warning squiggle. So our team does go back and forth a lot about whether or not we should include it.
People see code quality in different directions. Some people definitely like to start clean, stay clean, and some people prefer that I do it whenever I'll get to it. It's an opportunistic improvement. So having them in the box is kind of iffy, like, because it might offend some customers.
Some people just want to get rid of all those warnings and errors. Just like,
they just want to
get
build,
out of
right?
my so, face. Yeah. It'll still basically work, and they can worry about code quality later. I might be one of those people.
Yeah, but it's great that it's so customizable too, because you do have people who have different coding styles and different, you know, different ways that people think, and sometimes like I don't like a ton of clutter on my stuff. Like, I don't like when track changes is turned on in Word because it has too much clutter.
Oh, I know. So I think that,
thank you. I found another one who agrees with me. If Dominic is watching this.
Yeah, but we're still working on improving the discoverability and ease of installation rather than someone having to figure out the name of the package, go to the NuGet manager. We're working on UI improvements to make it easier.
Yeah. So right now we'd be erring on the side of being less verbose, but we have an issue with discoverability. But if we fix the discoverability issue too well, it'll be way too noisy. So this is the line we walk, the balance we have to keep. Cool. Okay. Wait, what was I going to ask after this?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember. We talked about customizability, so it's cool that you can choose whether or not to install this package or not. You can choose what project to install it on or not, so you don't have to get these warnings on like things that aren't production code, like your test code or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty nice. And we're working on making UI even better to kind of maintain the balance. All right.
So I see a question there on analyzers for C# 8. So we do have some of these analyzers in the box within Visual Studio. So FXCorp analyzers, which Mika pointed out, is mainly targeting code quality as such, not specific language features. But the ones we have in the IDE actually help users to migrate to new features. So for example, we recently added an analyzer and code fix for people to convert from switch statements to the new switch expressions and things about nullability and all those stuff. So
cool. Do those only work in .NET Core? Do we want to message that right now? I know we made a blog post that we were trying to decide how far forward, because a lot of people don't want like C# 8 input on their very old apps, and this would introduce more like warnings or like default suggestions or something like that to use that.
I think the analyzer checks for your language version, so unless you explicitly specified that I'm on C# 8, we will not suggest those.
Okay, yeah.
Same in Visual Studio for Mac, you have to have C# 8. That's hard to say. C# 8 selected as the language version for your app to have it. You can toggle that on and off as well. So
yeah, okay. I think we did about a blog post about what frameworks it would also be available in, but I'm blanking on where it is. Okay. Cool. Just the last thing I wanted to call out about analyzers is that this is also only one package in the ecosystem. So we do have a ton of people, like I guess the Roslinator extension is kind of a good example, people contributing what diagnostics they would like to see in Visual Studio. So all of these diagnostics, you can use Roslyn, which is an open box compiler platform, to create your own as well. So it might be worth exploring what's out there. So first off, like install the Roslyn Analyzer package, and then there's probably a lot more that might help you code. There's a wonderful XUnit Analyzer package that'll give you errors and warnings that are specific to creating the, well, using the XUnit testing framework as it was intended to be used, which is pretty cool. I don't have a demo of that prepared, but it is one of my favorites now that we're on the topic. Cool. Yeah.
There's also, you know, now that it is open source, if there's anything that you want to learn how to add analyzers or see if there's anything that's a, you know, pet peeve of yours, you can always look at the code and see, you know, how you can add these analyzers yourself. It's really extensible is the word.
That's so true. Okay. Cool. Well, I think that kind of wraps it up. It's a short, nice little episode. Go look at a blog post, install this analyzer package, see if it's right for you.
Does anybody want to see some of the new XAML editor?
Yes. Yeah. Always. No?
Yeah. All right.
Always. You
another
know
another live demo. Let's see how this works.
Let's see if it works.
Yeah. All right, let me share my screen. All right. Oh, wrong app. See, bad start already. I installed the analyzer thing.
Can only go uphill.
They'll forgive us.
This is so part of the 8.2 release of Visual Studio for Mac is going to include an all new XAML editor. So you might have remembered that we did our new C# editor in 8.1, which was released a month ago. 8.2, which should be coming soon, next week or so, should include the new XAML editor, which is a huge improvement over our old XAML editor. If you've written XAML code on Windows and then went over to Mac, you can see the disparity there. There's quite a bit of changes in the way that any of the IntelliSense works and whatnot, and it's just a little bit less performant and less helpful. For example, one of the cool things we have now is that your resources are available in available in IntelliSense. Yes, you have IntelliSense on your static resources and whatnot within the IDE. I'm trying to see some static resources that I can call out. Is this one of the ones that's declared up here in the resources? Name text style, yes. So if we just delete that, it should. No, it's not working. Oh my gosh. See, this is why I should just.
We could have just ended the episode. And
I know.
At least they know we tried to go the extra mile.
Yes, exactly. Well, you should check it out. There are a lot of great improvements to it. We've had some folks on the preview channel who've been testing it out, and the feedback is amazing. So if you want to dip your toes in early, go to the preview channel in Visual Studio for Mac. Otherwise, you should have the new XAML editor out in the next week.
Cool.
And I should not have done the live demo, but that's okay.
No, that's okay.
I did have a typo. Somebody said, oh.
We're just keeping it real. That's what people love, right? People.
Yes. Okay. Love live TV.
Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. Mika, thank you so much for the demo, and Manish for joining and sharing your expertise. Tune in next week for the next .NET community stand-up episode. Thanks all.
Thank you. Bye.